how in the world do we get there from here? This probably speaks to another aspect of adventure. Again, we typically think of positive things, but there's more to it than that. What are some of the challenging aspects of adventure, the difficult things? Can we name those things together? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Sorry? Sometimes it's expensive. There's a cost involved. Really good. Reading the map. My gosh, how many of us know how to read maps? How many of us consult the maps when we should? Yeah. Other things. Discomfort, right. Not knowing. Homesickness. Yeah, oftentimes adventures take us away from home. Yes, Uda. Getting lost on the way. I thought adventure was all about good things. No, there are some really challenging things. Adventures are these things too. It's not as though we can determine how the journey is going to go all at the front end. There are surprises and not always pleasant ones. We can set out with a map and compass, only to find ourselves thrown sideways by experiences that were not part of the plan. Like Christmas shopping. No. That too. We thought we could make steady progress in a straight line, but there were obstacles and we stumbled along. We had tried to keep positive and focused, but we got sidetracked with other things. There were blind alleys and dead ends. We wanted to keep going, but we had to wait. We made some friends, but there were arguments and a falling out. Sometimes we were our own worst enemy. Adventures can be difficult. We can get confused, frustrated, disillusioned. And the original vision that we had had, which might have been really good in itself, can come to feel more like a burden than a source of inspiration, even ones that we get from the Bible. This isn't far off the situation that God's people found themselves in Isaiah's day. They weren't on the cusp of realizing their hopes. Far from it. Israel had enjoyed a long season of prosperity down to the time of Isaiah, but leaders and community had become prideful and calloused and had forgotten what the journey was all about. Rather than putting their trust in the one true living God, they took matters into their own hands, worshiping their wealth and alliances and military power while exploiting the most vulnerable. The result was disastrous for the whole community. Isaiah did bring words of hope, but he assured his listeners that tough times were coming, and it wasn't going to get easy. It wasn't going to be easy to see how things could go right in the end. So, what do we do when the adventure takes a turn? When our expectations are frustrated? When we've grown weary and lost our desire to care? When the dark has gathered and we feel trapped and alone? What do we do? Well, I think the first thing we need to remember, no matter where we're at, is that God is with us. His promises have not changed. We can trust him, even in the dark. Further along in Isaiah, things do get worse, and God's people find themselves groping about in the dead of night. They're desperate to make a way, so they take up torches of their own to push back the dark. This is the temptation when we're afraid and anxious, and we imagine we're alone, left to our own devices to figure things out, to make things work. We have to resist that temptation. God is with us, here and now, and not simply to console and make us more daring in a journey of our own choosing. He means to draw us to himself and to have us remember afresh that our adventure only means something in connection with his venture to save and to bring new life. Wherever we are right now, in whatever dark place, there's freedom from anxious striving. God is present, and he's calling us to himself. At the same time, we need to remember that God is calling us out, bringing us awake and encouraging us to step into the light that he provides. Hear it again. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is how Isaiah concludes his vision in our reading. It's amazing, given that he says this on the cusp of perilous and destructive times. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Somehow Isaiah thinks it's possible to do this despite the dark. Jesus suggests this too in our gospel reading for today. Keep awake, he says. Live in the light. That could seem strange given all that he's been talking about. Violence, wars, earthquakes, persecution. Just read through that chapter. It's all of those things and more. Stay awake. How about wake me up when it's all over? But this would distort the kind of adventure that we're on. Just think of it. Jesus, the light of the world, shining in the darkness. He's the one who rouses us from slumber and leads us to life. And he stands with us between times. No one knows the day or hour, he says, including me. Yet he has promised to be with us to the end of the age. Paul fills it out further in his letter to the Romans. You know what time it is, he says. This is the moment for you to wake from slumber. There it is again, to wake from slumber. Our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first began. The night is far gone. The day is near. So we open our eyes and we look around. There's barely a glow on the horizon. What are we to do? We're to lay aside the works of darkness, says Paul, and put on the armor of light. More, we're to put on Jesus Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us, the very light that Isaiah had glimpsed so long ago. We're not alone, left to cope as we can, stressing ourselves by day, numbing ourselves by night. This is a time to live as if the light has come, because we know it has, and that it will grow stronger, and that we have a part to play in letting it shine for the world to see. This might be a good place for us to rest as we enter into this new season of Advent and ministry together at the Res. We're entering a time of preparation and expectancy and waiting, opening ourselves to God anew and to his leading. We're also uniting together and standing with Julie, ready to forge ahead in the work that God has for us to do. There's uncertainty in all of this, we know, but we have reason for hope in our life together, for trusting that all will be well, even in times of trouble. We can leave off our quarreling and disputes, knowing that we are destined for peace. We can give ourselves in love, knowing that we're in God's care. God is with us, right here, even in the dark. And we can depend on him to lead us all the way out to a world of uncreated light where the darkness will be no more. May it be so. And let's pray together with our friend Stanley Hauerwas. Let's pray. Thank God, you've given us good work, hopeful work. Our lives are not just one pointless thing after another. We have purpose, but give us also your patience. School our hope with humility, recognizing that finally it is a matter of your will being done. Too often our hope turns to optimism, optimism to despair, despair to cynicism. Save our hope by Israel-like patience so that we can learn to wait and work, hopefully enjoy. Amen. Amen.